Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Tasmanian Devin here, and we're on our last podcast of the series here at Window Dealer Days in Atlanta. And I'm so excited to be bringing you this deep dive series supported by Summit Automation. We're going to be going through a deep dive and talking big doors, many of these words to describe these hot trends like moving walls, scenic doors, and alike. So if you go listen to the other episodes, we're talking with Ben Collins of Morrison Millwork, Chris Guido of Guido Materials, and today we're going to go and have a fireside chat with Scott Brown, the owner of Franklin Window and Door. So these dealerships around the U.S. getting their lessons learned and tips around the indoor-outdoor living movement. So this deep dive series, all of them, we have PJ Grutzmacher, who is the new owner of Summit Automation. Let's go in and have a fireside chat and talk big doors with Scott from Franklin Window and Door. Lock and load, tribe. All right, what's your favorite beverage?
I'm gonna have to go with the mojito.
Oh, nice. We actually enjoyed a few of those last night at a fun restaurant,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, we did. It was a good time.
Awesome. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena we passionately call the art of construction?
Travel. Love to travel.
I switched that around because I anticipated you to say that because you and your wife, Corey, have all kinds of cool traveling that also ties into what we're going to talk about with big doors, right?
We do, yeah. We do.
So give us one story of traveling. So
this summer we partnered with a new manufacturer just outside of Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and we got to go out and visit the factory. Really neat trip. The guy that we work with there is the grandson of the owner currently, but the business has been in the family for over 300 years. So he had a boat on the canals in Amsterdam, so we got to cruise around the canals and, you know, really take a different view of Amsterdam. And then go around and visit some of the little towns in the area where they are. And there's a lot of World War history there, so got some history stuff while we were on site, but it was a good time.
Awesome. So I was super stoked to have you on this series of podcasts because you guys are very forward-thinking, as well as we're going to talk about installation that I know is one of your passions. But before we go into that, PJ, you came here today not even knowing what Window Dealer Days was. Give us your take of experience Window Dealer Days here at Glass Build America. And thank you for sponsoring and being part of this three-part series of the podcast where we're outside of Glass Build. So if you hear some noise, it's because we're right here at the conference and we want the Art of Construction Tribe to be here with us. So what's your takeaway from sitting in with window dealers here in Atlanta?
You know, I'll tell you, I've been in a lot of different industries, aerospace, construction, now in the automation side. And it was actually really refreshing to participate in this event today because I got a chance to hear from my customers and some of the challenges that they're dealing with, which is actually, in many cases, the same challenges I have to deal with as far as labor for installations, making sure that we get the right marketing approach out there, digital platform out there, that kind of thing. So I was very encouraged about the market forecast. All signs indicate that it's still looking really positive, and it's not as fast growing as it had been for the last 10 years, but it's still growing. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I would say kudos for you coming out. You said I love a day when I get out with my customers as a new owner of Summit Automation. Scott, wouldn't you say that's a pretty smart thing of him as a manufacturer to come out and spend the day with us,
his customers? Without a doubt. Without the voice of the customer, it's going to be hard for him to grow. So
let's talk about the manufacturers that your company represents when it comes to scenic doors.
When it comes to scenic doors, we have quite a bit. Our main line is Marvin, so the majority of our business, I would say well over 50% is a products that Marvin has to offer. And, you know, they've got a full spectrum on their scenic door collection. We do a little bit with Weathershield, Fleetwood, Western, and now most recently MHB Steel.
So an arsenal of different manufacturers like the other dealers that we talked with. What is one of the most unique features that you've seen integrated into the different big door categories?
So usually when the customer is interested in a scenic door, you know, they want that indoor-outdoor experience, and part of the experience is the floor transition. If there's ever a complaint I get on a door system, it's because the transition isn't flush. And it's challenging to waterproof a flush door system, almost an impossibility to do it 100%. But Fleetwood offers a system that I personally feel is superior than anything I've seen, where they have a recessed pan that is completely sealed that you can plumb in and drain away from the house. And to me, to be able to get completely flush and still have drainage, it's pretty innovative.
So that's where I want to go back and kind of hear your story. As I know, behind the scenes, you were a remodeling contractor.
Yes.
And really saw this passion of the window and door category. And you've been a thought leader as I've been going to conferences when it comes to windows and doors. You're passionate about doing it the right way. When I say the most unique feature, you talk about something that you don't see.
Correct.
But it's super important, yes. Right? So what's Scott's story of leading up to running Franklin Window and Door?
It's not all that exciting.
It is. I've spent some time with you, Scott.
Well, we were in luxury residential remodeling for quite a few years. Had our own remodeling business. I mean, it was about a dozen years before we started the window and door business. But honestly, we were very passionate about that area of the renovation, and it showed up to our customers, and it seemed like that's where we really excelled and saw growth. Everyone wanted, they saw that passion and wanted to be part of it, and it got to the point where we couldn't keep up with both ends and had to let go of one, so we held on to the windows and doors.
So totally learning by doing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just like PJ's out here running Summit Automation, and you're listening to the customers and going, and you're fielding a lot of those service calls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you learn by saying the windows and doors needed so much attention. Tell us about what you're doing with when it comes to the next generation of window installers.
So it's slow going, but we're making some headway on partnering with some local school systems. Bringing in kids their senior year that either are not on a track to go to college, or you know, in college they want to be in the construction industry and they've already accumulated the credits they need to go where they want to go. So they're getting a half a day off from school and they're coming and interning with us to learn the trade to see if this is an area that they want to be in.
And we just did a series at Digital Built Week in Seattle. I love being involved in these different conferences. And we did an event podcast with Steve Burrows, and he talked about it's the greatest time to be involved in construction because there's so much convergence of technology and new ways of doing things. And that's the other part when you say training the next generation and working with the next generation. What's your take on that as coming into the industry, PJ, as seeing how things are currently done, coming from your previous company was involved in aerospace and stuff, right? Tell us that story.
Sure. I will tell you the parallelisms that I'm seeing between this industry and mine is that you've got quite a bit of technology that's out there from a CAD modeling capability and with the ability to actually do the 3D models in a way that you can actually see how the product is going to look, feel, act in the space. I would imagine one day soon, if not today, there's probably virtual reality capability to get in there and actually sense what your house is going to look like. I know I've seen some things that Devin, you've done with your company as part of Arta Construction. The other element that I see is that I was a little surprised. I didn't realize how technical the door systems are. I really didn't, because you know, as a user, as a consumer, I don't think much about my door. I grab the door, as long as it's not squeaking, I'm happy, you know, and it opens and closes, everything's good. I'm there, but now I have a much more greater appreciation for the technical side of the doors and windows that are out there.
I appreciate you saying that coming into the industry, because until you live as a window and door geek, it's a different animal, right? Until you're behind there to make the easy button. So talk us through, what are some of the biggest challenges when it comes to a moving wall of glass and making that happen? You mentioned the most unique feature being the subsill pan with Fleetwood, but that ties into the indoor-outdoor living, right?
It does, yeah. I think some of the biggest challenges, one, is getting the education out there to the homeowner on what they can or can't do and finding what they really want to achieve out of this. You know, a folding door system is going to create a different opening, a different experience than a stacking door system, you know, and then even pocketing door systems. And they all have their own challenges for installations, field applications, you know, whether it's new construction or retrofit. There's just so much planning that has to go in ahead of time. And it's, you know, getting the builders on board early enough to be involved in that planning so they can do what they need to do to be prepared for it. There's just a tremendous amount of stuff that goes into it.
Awesome. Any specific examples as running? Where are you based out of and what's your kind of market area?
So, yeah, the hot and cold swings are huge for us. So we have a limited amount of time for scenic doors, you know, and creating a space outside that they can still utilize more than 2 months out of the year. That's definitely a specific challenge.
Meaning the weather changes.
Correct.
as it works. Yeah. Awesome. So what are some other features? So you represented several different brands, and you also do some different European products, right? So what are some of the differences from the manufacturers in the States that you see versus when you go different places around the globe, how things are done differently when it comes to moving walls?
Efficiencies in the products, they've definitely, from what we work with on the European market, they have mastered the efficiency of energy through the product in compared to a lot of the manufacturers here in the U.S. The way that the factories operate when you're in there, when you walk into a factory in the United States, is completely different than Europe. So in the United States, you're in there in your hard hats, your steel-toe boots. You know, if you got to have all this, waiver sign off if you get injured. And in Europe, they will walk up and you can stand and talk with the craftsmen about what they're building, how they're building it. And to just see the passion in their eyes on what they're producing, I've not seen it anywhere here in the United States.
Yeah, I definitely have seen the passion with you and your wife of the, is it European or global brands outside of the different, what we can offer here versus that. I see different products as well around the globe too, right? There's other automation features around the globe other than Summit. What have you seen so far in your short time with that, the kind of global perspective of the product lines?
Let's see. So I was in the Army way back when, and I was stationed overseas, got a chance to see quite a few different countries. And I would have to concur that I'd say that they're very sleek in design.
Yes.
You know, they're very modern looking, a lot more metals, less woods, and the complexity of the exotic materials, the flooring materials, along with the windows, and then the actual, the way that they skirt the drywall or the plaster up to the doors, I think is very sleek as well. So it's a little different. Here in the US, we use a lot of trim, a lot of moldings, things like that, except when you get into the bigger homes or the more expensive homes, then you see a little bit more of a modern European influence into those designs as well.
So in the window and door category, or the fenestrations, the types of materials, you see different types of materials being used when you're talking, because you said energy was a big part of that. So kind of the sleek look and the energy efficiencies when it comes to big doors or the fenestration, the style and rails, the perimeter, what do you see the differences?
So getting as small a profile as possible is critical. That's what everybody wants, more glass, less frame. And in the U.S. products, the manufacturers that I know here that make those minimalistic products, most of them are importing those profiles from Europe anyway. So we're not producing those profiles here that they produce there, and they'll add in the thermal efficiency that we need within those minimal profiles, where it takes us much bulkier, bigger profiles to reach those energy.
Awesome. I wanted to ask one question as far as you've been coming to the window and window dealer days for many years, right?
Yeah.
Give us kind of the evolution, or just for if you're a window and door dealer listening to this, kind of your take of Window Dealer Days or some of the things you've learned or just the progression for your business for other people that may be in that sector, more on the dealer side versus contractors and affiliates that this podcast globally is made for.
On the dealer side, it's one of the best things we've ever done for our business. More being able to get one-on-one with people that are doing the same thing that we're doing and talk about best practices and what's working, what's not working. Everyone that we've met here are very open to discussing, you know, without competition, you know, what they're doing, what's working, what's not working. And that really is powerful to take back and implement in your company.
That's a key insight. So wherever you're at, find a place where people do what you do, but you don't compete, so
correct,
that you can truly share best
correct
practices. Awesome. PJ, anything to say with that?
Collaboration is really key. So if you can find a network of people that you don't have that tension for a competition, a lot of creative ideas come out as a result of that. I think that's great. And Scott, back to your comment about the minimalist, the framing and such. We're seeing the same thing as far as automation goes as well. You know, they want it's more difficult to automate those doors where you've got to put screws in to hold the brackets and things like that to be able to get it done. But by partnering and collaborating with the OEMs and understanding exactly where we can put those fasteners, or in some cases there are no fasteners. That's really important to have that kind of relationship with the OEMs. And again, the OEMs don't feel threatened by us because at Summit Automation, you know, the doors are agnostic to us.
Yeah.
We automate any door.
Yeah.
As long as that door moves, we can automate it.
Yep.
And our whole focus is to make sure that when customers are buying those large doors, those scenic doors, that they don't become windows. The worst thing that could happen, you spend, you know, $100,000, $200,000 for these fantastic doors, and then all of a sudden, because they're so large, because, you know, that's what's happening in this industry, is that everything's getting bigger. And with that size comes incredible amounts of weight.
Yep.
And people might be able to move the doors fine in the showrooms, you know, and they might be able to move one or two panels because you don't have those 8-panel systems or 12-panel systems in the doors. But when you start adding and bumping into those extra doors, and next thing you know, you're asking your husband or your wife to, hey, can you give me a hand while I'm opening these things? That can get complicated. So, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do is making sure that we're keeping up with the same industry trends with the larger doors, making sure that we have a more powerful motors to be able to move those systems elegantly and completely without damaging any of the systems.
Yeah, I think that's interesting where you live in the art of construction is that you say we're not one manufacturer, one single door. You're in the business of automating all the different doors that make sense to be automated. And Art of Construction Tribe, I think that's really a thing where you have to pause when we say this is for contractors and affiliates to grow their business, architects, engineers. You know, if you're selling for a manufacturer direct model, whatever you sell is what's best. We've interviewed three different window dealers here. You have a different family of products that we talk a lot about at these events. What are the right product mix as we're trying to understand when you said the benchmarking of the Farnsworth Group, talking about different fenestrations and types of windows. But you should really look at PJ as a great trusted advisor because you're the one working with all these different manufacturers to say, for this application, this system may work the best.
Yes.
And you're looking at trying to just take the simplicity version of that, like you talked on the other episodes, as far as garage doors became, all garage doors are automated. The big door, the moving wall movement is catching up to that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I wanted you to give us insight on these European or different types of doors because they all have different complexities.
They do, yeah.
Like you talked about the threshold. To me, it's all about the building envelope. The threshold is the part that the window dealer and the wood floor and all the issues, but Summit lives in the head track, right?
We
and
do.
So you have to talk about where the motor goes up in the head.
Yep.
That we have things like headers that they want to put it right to the header, and then you have to figure all that stuff out, right? So that's the part of the trust advisor partnership. What's your take on that, PJ?
I would say that it's not just partnering with the OEMs and partnering with the dealers, because it's really important to understand the elevation, understand where exactly they're going to put the doors and what types of doors are going to go in. But it's also partnering with the architects as well. And, you know, more and more we're seeing steel coming into the play, especially in Arizona, Nevada. And Southern California, there just seems to be more and more, say, getting away from the glue lamps and going to the I-beams and placing those up there. Well, as soon as you put an I-beam in, while it adds complexity for the installation of the automation, but it still can be done. It's just partnering with the architects up front to make sure that they understand and they prep the house for automation. Even though the customer may not specifically request automation today, My last few months that I've been with Summit, I've been focusing on going around to the various architects, doing product knowledge demonstrations with them, and making sure that they understand that, listen, even if the customer doesn't ask for automation, it doesn't cost much to prep a house for automation at the planning stage, at the building stage, because people get older. And as they get older, those doors that once were easy to move for them now become more problematic. Well, if the house is already designed and set up for automation integration, then from an aftermarket perspective, we can come into the home. And, you know, we've already pre-wired. We've already got the header extended out beyond the jam so that we've got something that we can mount the motors to, the return pulleys to, and such. And that just makes it so much easier for us to evolve the house with the needs of the customer as well. So in quite frankly, what we're really looking at is a complete collaboration of the vertical from the customer all the way down to the supplier and all of the installers, everybody in that entire supply chain.
And I totally agree with you there, but I'm going to challenge you of the what we talked about earlier. You said the smallest frames, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about the European look of no trim and the glass house. And I brought up the word engineer earlier, and that's why it's going to steel is because why is it steel? Because they don't want any frames even on the structure.
Yeah.
So you take everything away, but then we go back and we have the conversation of prepping the rough opening for all the proper stuff. So I think it's really back to that building science, and that's where BIM modeling and Revit, and we've been going on all these journeys of saying the easy thing to do is just keep making a bigger rough opening or more slop, right? And then you have to use less trim, more trim to cover up the slop. So you have to get more creative, right, with a company like Summit to say if it's a steel I-beam and there is no more room in the rough opening, you have to be able to understand in a crawl space or inverted motors or a subsill pan, because you have to do other things to make everything look so clean and hidden.
Yeah.
That I think is just a big shift in construction in the States that other places have gotten used to that. What's your take on that, PJ?
So it's interesting because I was at a Hawk in San Francisco just last week, and they were talking about how they're trying to put transoms above doors so to let in even more and more light into the building. So I told them, I said, well, you know what? Our motor system, when you put it on a 90 degree gearbox, we can actually live our motor, put our motor up inside an I-beam and drill a hole through the bottom flange of the I-beam. And you could drop a shaft through it, put the return pulley on it. And then when they drywall, they just drywall right over the I-beam. And we've tucked a motor away where no one would have ever thought a motor could have gone in before. So possibly, you know, the I-beam might be, you know, maybe it's rated at 6 inches. If you go to 8 inches and you allow that inner cavity to be about 6.5 to 7 inches, we could put a motor up in there and the customer would be ecstatic about that. And then you still have the glass transom up above.
Yeah, so that's totally thinking within where the design elements are going to make everything work. And I think that's where, back to the hands-on, you talked about going to the different plants and seeing this stuff, how you said walking up to the craftsman table, you pick up a lot of things by doing those different lessons learned. What's your take on that?
Definitely. We had an interesting one come up. You know, we're talking about integrating motors into the doors, but something came up on a job site the other day they didn't even consider tying it to the HVAC. So when we open up this wall, now I got the rest of the house that the AC is blowing. So now we have to partner with the HVAC tech to make sure that it shuts the zone off for the area.
Wait, when you put a 20-foot by 10-foot hole in the house,
it makes a difference.
It makes a difference.
It makes a difference. Yeah, yeah. So, but it's pretty interesting though. Now, you know, when they hit the button to open their door, as it senses to open the door, it also feeds the HVAC a notification to shut that zone off. You know, so there's just so many areas that you could take this.
That can get super convoluted if you don't have a team that's all forward thinking,
planning
like your HVAC
for this.
Partner. Yeah. And that was really the whole goal of this deep dive series and what the Art of Construction is all about, is talking to the experts like Scott that live in the fenestration or the window and door world, partnering with a manufacturer like Summits to say, how do we take and then we go bring a HVAC partner and have these conversations, because we don't have enough time to learn from all of our mistakes.
Yeah.
We have to learn from all of our collaboration, and that's where you have to take the time to get out and smell the roses and work on your business once in a while, right? Yep. So on this series, I've been asking everybody two things we always ask from the first show to the 1,000th show when we get there someday, is what is that one thing that you want contractors and affiliates from where you stand in the window and door category to help them grow their business to really think about holistically? And then as this podcast series has been dedicated to the indoor-outdoor living, what is that one thing when it comes to that space?
I would say the one thing that everyone has to do is pass on your knowledge. Been in this industry for a long time, and a lot of the old school guys in this industry think that by passing on their knowledge, somebody's going to come take their job. Stop. Because if you keep doing it, this industry is going to die. So we need young people learning this stuff. Don't keep it all to yourself. You know, share it.
Awesome. And specifically to the scenic doors or the moving wall movement, what's your take with that?
Just dive in, because it's here and it's not going anywhere.
I totally agree. We're big fans at the Art of Construction with what you're doing with Franklin Window and Door. And go ahead, check out the other series with Ben Collins and Chris Guido. Thanks for coming in and telling us your story.
Thanks for having us, Devin.
Good work. So we did it. 3 podcasts in a day, and we're going to put this all together and we'll make these global and timeless. What's your take on all this stuff, PJ?
Well, Devin, first, thanks for having me on the show.
You bet.
It's been eye-opening, and I would not have gone to WDDA if it hadn't have been for your recommendation to do so. And I will tell you, this has been eye-opening for me, just coming here and then meeting with all the people. Everybody is so nice in this industry. They're all willing to collaborate. They're all willing to share lessons learned. So I've been just soaking it all in and learning as much as possible.
Awesome. And if another manufacturer, if you're interested in talking with the Art of Construction, this deep dive series is a process where we go through a series of podcasts where we meet with a specific topic. In this case, there's 3 episodes that will all be catered from Ben Collins from Morrison Millwork to Chris Guido and with Guido Materials, and then Scott and Corey Brown of Franklin Window and Door. 3 window dealers not competing, but all collectively kind of doing the same things. And kudos to you as Summit for stepping up and saying, I want to learn from all of them and get those different approaches. And you're thinking when you're doing the conversation, but yet then you can come back and kind of regurgitate and put it all together. And I love doing it around different events like this where you have those aha moments that you can bring to the conversation. So what's your take of working with Art of Construction on this deep dive series? Would you recommend it for other manufacturers?
Absolutely. I completely recommend it. And quite frankly, Devin, you do a great job at setting this all up. You make it really easy. You tee it up very, very easily for somebody like me. You know, I don't play in this space in the podcast world very often. This is my first series. But you've made it very welcoming for me. And I will tell you, I think it has a great return on investment. Being here at the show, meeting the various customers, this has been fantastic. So thank you.
Thanks for the kind words. And if someone else is interested, we're on the message board and we'll have show notes for each one of these shows and tie them all together. Give credit to the conference here of Glass Build and specifically Window Dealer Days, which is a great organization. And all these different organizations have different organizations within them. So it takes some time to understand that, but it all boils down to what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? It's like now the hot craze is video and podcasts and it's all these shiny objects. But I challenge you, Art of Construction Tribe and manufacturers, you don't have to do everything yourself and reinvent it. Just jump on different, you know, the best ideas are borrowed from others and worked as a team holistically, like it manufacturers with big doors and adding automation to that. I raise my hand, I own a window and door company, and I've worked really hard to work with automation in the past, and it's just tough. But when you come together and you have a team, you get confident, you get over the F word,
yes.
Fear.
Fear.
And if we break down that fear barrier, that's where we come together, and then you're like, yeah, that's cool. I'm gonna automate that big door and have confidence, right?
Yep.
And so we all boil down to getting confident and having more fun together. So tonight we're gonna go all have dinner together, all of us that did the podcast, and we can let our shoulders drop after we bucked up and did this. So we come together, and so thanks so much for coming in and being part of this. I really appreciate it, and can't wait to the future of what Summit and Art of Construction can do together, man.
Thanks, Dave.
Cheers.
Cheers.